Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to NBA Pulse, a production of iHeartRadio and the NBA. I'm Sarah Kustak, NBA analyst for the YES Network, and today is Friday, April 26th. From our extraordinary core group of NBA journalists, we're joined now by NBA.com senior writer Steve Ashburner. And ooh-wee, Ash, we're in it. We are in it. We've got some series that are starting to become just that. I'm going to take a look at it. What happened last night, what's about to happen tonight, but it's great to see you. You've been on the move, you're on the move, and we're going to get into a couple of these fun games that you have had an opportunity to cover and see. Let's begin, though, with the big one that occurred last night, a 50-point masterpiece, I'll call it, from Joel Embiid, though. A lot of it took place at the free throw line. First time in NBA history in a playoff game that a player scored 50 or more points on fewer than 20 field goal attempts. He went 13 of 19 from the field, 19 of 21 from the free throw line. But most importantly, it helped Philly really stay in this series after a couple heartbreakers at Madison Square Garden for the 76ers side of things and some big-time wins by the New York Knicks. 76ers now make this a 2-1 series after a 125-114 win. There's a lot of things that happened. Talking about Joel Embiid's numbers and how he had played. Also, you look at the fact that it looked like Jalen Brunson got going a little bit. Familiar with that arena, for as much as we talk about the Villanova Knicks. The Wells Fargo Center is a place that they spent a lot of time playing throughout their collegiate career, but Brunson did have 39 points, 13 assists, and still the contributions of Josh Hart, OG Anunoby. Isaiah Hartenstein was efficient on the offensive end, but man, tough to deal with a player like Joel Embiid. A lot of things occurred in this game, so tell me what stood out to you most in this one and intrigued you as you kind of stepped away from it.
Yeah. Hi, Sarah. Before I do that, I just want to go on the record that I'm a skeptic when it comes to the phraseology, and I'm not picking on you because it's widespread about, you know, he scored 50 points on only 19 shots. Well, did those 21 free throws come from bonus situations where he was just standing around with the ball? No, he was shooting the ball. He took more shots than 19 shots. And they always talk about, oh, it's efficiency. It's this, it's that. The guy probably took 25, 26 shots to get those 50 points. So, which is great. That's great. But he is the first guy in history to do 50 on fewer than 20. And it's like, he got 19 free throws, 19 free throws out of 21 attempts. He took more shots. So I try to stay away from that stuff. Nonetheless, they needed this game from Joel Embiid. He came very close to not giving them this game because he presumably might have spent the end of that game in the locker room, depending on how a couple of calls had gone. There was a flagrant foul one that easily could have been a two, in my opinion, when he grabbed Robinson by the legs.
Briefly, let's get into that, Ash. Yeah. Dig in your thoughts on that, because that was early in the game, and obviously that would change the entire complexion of it. He's on the ground and pulled the legs of Mitchell Robinson down while, you know, Mitchell Robinson kind of fell over him. The later explanation by Joel was that he was just trying to make sure that he didn't get stepped on. Do you think in that situation, circumstance, scenario, that it should have been a flagrant too?
I think it certainly could have been ruled that. I mean, I'm going to give the officials benefit of the doubt. Now, to me, if you just sort of stick an arm up, like with a forearm, to make sure that Robinson, who had received the ball, if he jumps up, he doesn't land on you, or you kind of turn to avoid him landing on you. Okay, that's fine. But the idea that you took both arms on both sides of his legs and you know, seemed like you wanted to stop him from going up to score that ball. Yeah, that seemed fairly intentional. So he didn't sort of trip him and cause him to crash to the floor, but it was shaky. I thought it could have gone with a two, but it ended up as a one. But then there's the one where he Draymond Greened Robinson with his with one of his legs as he took a jump shot, and he caught Robinson, you know, between his own legs, and nope, nothing, no harm, no foul. So I think Philadelphia caught a break on a couple of those, and let's face it, they need it, because had Embiid gone out early in that game, you know, it was going to be very, very difficult, and a 3-0 series between these teams would have dropped dramatically in interest. I still think, you know, Philadelphia has a big hole from which to climb. I just wonder, I found myself watching that game and thinking, can Tobias Harris and Nicholas Batum have good games at the same time? You know, it seems like Batum's best games are when Harris hasn't been around, or vice versa. But I mean, Tobias Harris, he needs to score more. They cannot get by on Maxey and Embiid alone. And, you know, right now, I mean, his claim to NBA fame is essentially he's made, you know, more money than anybody who's, you know, not been an all-star or things like he's done tremendously financially in this league. But in terms of stepping up now, this is the time. This is Tobias Harris needs to take it to another level. And if I'm Embiid, or if I'm Maxey, or if I'm Nick Nurse, that has to be, you know, the messaging inside that locker room.
Yeah, and I think it's been the messaging for quite some time. I think it even felt that way in conversations, you know, going back to the time when Embiid was out throughout the course of the regular season. Yeah. He finishes with just 8 points, 5 rebounds. You mentioned Maxey, 25 points for him. Nick Nurse did make a change in the rotation. Buddy Hield playing just 4 minutes, and those minutes went to Cameron Payne, who came in and hit some big shots early. It felt like it kind of changed the juice and the momentum for the 76ers. 11 points on 4-7 shooting. Okay, Ash, more importantly, though, you mentioned this, Philadelphia does win one. I think health is going to factor in a large part with Joel Embiid. Also revealed that he is playing with Bell's palsy. What do you think in game four at Philadelphia? Do they have a chance here to tie up this series?
Well, sure they do. You know, I picked the Knicks to win this series, but I thought it would take 7 games. So that would almost require a Sixers victory in game four. I can't see a 3-1 series going all the way to 7. Now, I've been wrong plenty of times, not just with the number of games, but who wins. So they don't listen to me. It's a, yeah, of course. I mean, after what we saw the first 2 games and the New York's resiliency, you know, I don't have any reason to doubt that the Knicks are the better team. I just think that that Philadelphia is going to get the max it can out of home court. And, you know, Embiid is probably feeling better about himself than he did at the end of that game too. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see who steps up. I mean, Batum was tremendous in that, that play-in game where, you know, he had like six threes or something. And so, you know, you're going to need somebody to do that. And that's where, I mean, he's a veteran, but in fact, all their, you know, many of their role players are veterans, but, you know, at home is where the role players are expected to step up. So, sure, I could see this being 2-2. I could see this being 3-1. I think both teams are extremely capable of winning this game.
Ash, I should have asked you who you think is going to win Game 4. So you're not having the opportunity to cut the difference of both teams. But I am with you. I think just as a fan of basketball, I'm hoping that Philadelphia does win because I do want to see this be a nice long series.
That's what I hope. I like seeing two series.
I'm enjoying going. And I do think that finally getting a win obviously just changes the feel for the 76ers group. And hopefully to that point about the role players playing better at home, some of the maybe pressure has been relieved a little bit. I do still love the opportunity to see both Nick Nurse and Tom Thibodeau go kind of move the chess pieces with one another. So I will say the 76ers, but I think a large part of that, I love this Knicks team. I love how they play. Glad to see Jalen Brunson kind of get things going, but I want a nice long series, so I'm going to go with the 76ers. Denver and Los Angeles. Oh, Ash, I think the game last night might have buried these Los Angeles Lakers. Denver comes away with a 112-105 win. And Nikola Jokic is a surgical player. It's extraordinary to watch how he operates, no matter what the defense is doing, his ability to just push all the right buttons. But it also helps to have the compliments of a extremely, extremely talented roster, which you look at, four starters are all scoring 20 or more points. You got three of those in double figures, or double-double. Michael Porter Jr., 10 rebounds. Aaron Gordon, 15 rebounds. Jokic with 15 rebounds, 9 assists to go along with those 24 points. And then on the other side of things, Anthony Davis, another big game for him with the Lakers, 33 points, 15 rebounds. LeBron James did struggle from the three-point line, but 26 points, 9 assists. Just hasn't been enough for the Lakers. And after feeling like they may have had a chance or good runs or obviously blowing a lead, but still played well throughout the course of those first two games, it just felt different in this game last night. What did you make of just the Nuggets continuing to have the number of this Lakers team?
Yeah, to me, it almost feels like the Nuggets are using the Lakers as a sparring partner. You know, it's as if they've had them now 2 years in a row, and it's just sort of a laboratory for them to work on things. You know, okay, let's see how we can come back from what should be an insurmountable, you know, lead or deficit. Let's deal with Anthony Davis when he's got it going out for three quarters. You know, he had big numbers again, but it's fourth quarter. I mean, 3 points, I believe. You know, you can't do that. You cannot disappear, and they can say, well, other guys shouldn't be taking the shots they're taking. Well, you know, first of all, if you're trying to catch up, you are going to end up with more threes rather than you're going to feed Anthony Davis. But that's on him. I mean, to be more assertive, I was not impressed with the Lakers. They seemed engaged in games 1 and 2, even as they lost. But last night seemed awfully quick to spit out the bit. And I'm wondering at some point, we got to factor this stuff into, you know, LeBron. I mean, to lose potentially two sweeps at this stage of his career, you know, to one opponent, you know, yeah, it was later last season, but, you know, now in the first round, I mean, there are certain things that all-time greats you don't think of, particularly when they're advanced in their wisdom and basketball IQ and all of this. Nobody can complain. The Lakers don't get benefit of the doubt on whistles. So, you know, it goes to something else. I think we're seeing, LeBron's ability to carry a team where he wants to take it, you know, has waned, and he can put up a lot of numbers, but, you know, this is not a good look. I try to think of, you know, all-time greats, and granted, guys retired younger, so you didn't see sort of the other end of the bell curve with them. But I think that's what we're seeing with LeBron as far as team success right now.
No question. There's going to be a lot of questions for the Lakers this offseason, even just kind of looking at the complementary pieces before you even start to question, you know, what happens with LeBron James. Will he still continue to remain a Laker?
Well, Sarah, I don't know. You know, people are quick to blame the complementary players in L.A. You know, there's frustration with D'Angelo Russell and depending on the game, Rui Hachimura or Austin Reeves. You know, those guys get looked at, you know, sideways, but you got to wonder what LeBron on that roster and his dominant personality and what that does to the relationship within the players. And also, you know, the disconnect apparently with Darvin Ham and the coach and with other players seeing that, you know, does that erode the coach's authority within the team? I mean, there's some real chemistry issues there. And it just seems as if LeBron is, you know, so dominating a personality that trickles down through a lot of aspects of that team.
I feel what you're saying, but where I would point to that, D'Angelo Russell, 0 points. Rui Hachimura, 5 points. I mean, Gabe Vincent and give him a pass because he was injured for the better part of the season, but he was supposed to be this big pickup for the Lakers this offseason coming in, and he has 4 points and, you know, 20 minutes. Austin Reeves, a solid game. Part of me, and I understand, and obviously a lot of questions with Darvin Ham, and that's another area to point to. But I think we have seen LeBron James is nearly 40, and he's in his 21st season. You've seen and you know who he is. You know the way that he is built and constructed, and he has found success year after year after year, getting to final, you know, whether it's a championship or getting to that point. And so, you know, part of it is you're with a franchise that expects to win championships. So bring in players, that can handle that. And that's where I think, you know, they're shared responsibility all the time, especially if you're looking at a potential another sweep. But I do think the context of building a roster with players, not only a fit on the court in terms of skill set, but also personality, I think that's what makes all of these jobs so extremely difficult. That's what makes winning so extremely difficult. And I think that's why we are so impressed with the organizations that figure out how to piece things together. And I also, you said this going into the postseason, this is a bad matchup for the Lakers. I don't know if the Denver Nuggets are a good matchup for anyone, but they continue to show their excellence in so many different areas. And I do think, to your point, it's also the personality of Nikola Jokic and how well he's been able to kind of fit that in. But Darvin Ham, I think the question's on if he will be, do you think he will be the head coach of the Lakers next year?
I would be surprised. I don't think so. I don't think they can have this sort of exit 2 years in a row, especially in first round, and justify. I mean, even if they had a sort of a kumbaya Ubuntu spirit around that team, you know, the result itself is enough. And then with all the lingering and the chanting from the crowd, you know, that's hard for any coach to overcome.
Yeah, potential movement in a lot of different areas. But nonetheless, they still will have one more game that they need to play. And we have a break we're going to take and get to some of these games that are going to be played here this evening.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick Six not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/picksixstates. Void where prohibited. See terms at picksix.draftkings.com/promos.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to NBA Pulse. Sarah Kustak joined by the great Steve Ashburner. And Ash, this is, I know you're on tap of all of these games taking place in the playoffs across the league, but you've been on the circuits of the early part of the Minnesota Timberwolves and Phoenix Suns games, both games at Minnesota, in which the Timberwolves, they have been fun to watch. They have handled this Phoenix Suns team. It was a 2-7 matchup that I think some were potentially picking the Suns early on, and this is a long, long way from over, but it's been a really, really impressive performance by Minnesota early on. They lead the series 2-0, and they will play tonight at Phoenix, 10:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Ash, what's been your perspective about the way the Timberwolves have been playing and your expectations of what you think are going to happen here this evening in Phoenix?
Well, Minnesota's been terrific, and I, what I really like about them is that, first off, they lost all three meetings with Phoenix in the regular season, and they lost rather badly. But now they're locked in. Chris Finch is able to sort of dissect that Phoenix attack. You know, you're not worried about, well, the next night you're playing Sacramento or Indiana. You know, it's one opponent over and over. And they are flexing their defense. They were the number one team in the league defensively this year. And that is their star right now. I mean, we talk about Anthony Edwards and you know, how he's blowing up in terms of achievement and popularity and awareness. But right now, I mean, on a consistent basis, it's the way they play defense, and they have really locked in. They've got a very difficult team to defend against with, you know, three tremendous scorers in Durant and Booker and Bradley Beal, but they've been able to do it, and they've prioritized Devin Booker. You know, he's the guy trying to be a point guard when that's really not his natural position. Phoenix has kind of gone without that because they built themselves a super team that didn't allow for much depth. A lot of salary going to three guys. So they have totally frustrated Devin Booker. I don't think that necessarily is a lingering series long thing. I would expect Devin Booker to have a pretty big game three. However, Frank Vogel and the rest of that crew can spring him loose. But I mean, he was funkified in game two. I mean, he was frustrated. He was shoving, you know, back and forth with Jaden McDaniels. He fouled out of that game. It's looked like he was ready to leave Minnesota, you know, about an hour or two before the rest of the team. So, you know, that, to me, all credit goes to Minnesota. Durant, you know, he's fine. He doesn't seem to have that takeover a game potential. And Bradley Beal, I think, has gotten so adapted in the time he had in the regular season with being the third guy that, you know, it's a little out of his nature now to sort of have to take over a game like that. So I think Minnesota's been great. They've really coalesced around Rudy Gobert, who I expect to be named the Defensive Player of the Year. And I think Phoenix then after that first game, in game two, they were spooked in terms of when Anthony Edwards is going to go off. And he never really did, but they didn't need him to. So, I think Phoenix will do better, but I don't see the Suns solving enough of those challenges for Minnesota to be able to turn the series around completely.
Yeah, and it's just confounding with the Suns sometimes watching them and just looking like there's so many avenues of which you think they would be able to better exploit a team and just have not really been able to do that. And you said that about Minnesota, their defense. They just look at their length, their size, their physicality. All of that has just seemed smothering for the Suns team. So I'm really interested to see what happens here tonight in Phoenix. I do think Phoenix starts to put the pieces together back at home, and I could see them getting here tonight. The other series, we got to get you in the car to drive down to Indianapolis.
Exactly.
make that trip over. Milwaukee Bucks playing the Indiana Pacers. The series is all tied up 1-1 as it now moves to Indiana, 5:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. We got a nice early game. I like these early games. The late ones start to get me. Who wins in this one, Ash? Because we've seen very different looks out of game one and game two from these teams.
Yeah, this 5:30 Eastern time tip-off. I don't know whether that's a happy hour game or a blue hair special. It's an odd start time, but I know there are three games to squeeze in tonight, and so they want to minimize overlap, which is nice for the people that really want to watch as much NBA playoff basketball. I'm switching series here. I hope that it's intriguing. I think part of the planning and having me switch was perhaps to see Giannis Antetokounmpo come and play his first playoff game. I don't know that that's going to happen. Reportedly, he did not participate in any real on-court activity. Nothing maybe besides getting up some shots. And now they face a situation where Chris Middleton had sprained his ankle late in game two, and he also was held out. Both those guys are on the injury list at this stage heading towards game three. There's no way I can see Milwaukee surviving, you know, a second injury like that, and even surviving without Giannis's return pretty quick here. I just think Indiana is a bad matchup for them. It showed that during the regular season. The Pacers are too quick. They're young. They push the pace. Milwaukee is old, and they are athletically challenged, but they particularly look that way against the Pacers. And I think the Pacers are going to grab control of the series unless something dramatic, Willis Reed-like, happens with Giannis.
Yeah,
and that's a really old reference, I know, but hopefully people can.
No, we all know it. We all know that one. I don't know if everyone knows your the Brat Funkified reference from earlier, but yes, we're all in it. And Pascal Siakam has been tremendous, and yeah. Chris Middleton too. Just how he looked after getting a little hobbled in the last one. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be very interesting. And it's a great slate because we keep mentioning this early tip. That's because after the Milwaukee-Indiana game, you got an 8 p.m. Eastern tip between the Clippers, who now the series moves to Dallas. You got it all tied up as well. So excellent, excellent run of games here tonight. And Ash, as always, we appreciate your insight, your time, and safe travels, safe driving to you. Don't get a ticket there on your way.
Yeah, I know. I got to hit I-65. This is crazy. I lose an hour too, so I will look forward to talking to you later. And hopefully, you're right. I won't lose time on the side of the road with the lights flashing.
No way. NBA Pulse with Sarah Kustak is a production of the NBA and iHeartRadio. Please rate, review, and subscribe on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.